to Bonus Banter, where we answer your questions and talk about nothing.
Almost heaven.
Oh no.
Bonus Banter. Heem heem barking. Time to do some banter. Welcome
banter.
Back to Bonus Banter. We got absolutely destroyed last week when we tried to record. Drow said the word banter, but as bamter, in the same tone as hamter. And I laughed for 5 minutes straight.
Derek died.
I'm still laughing about it a week later. I've had two thoughts this whole week. Bamter and concrete.
I thought you were supposed to hamter. Bamter and hamter.
Bamter and hamter, the same thought.
I suggested hamter bamter, where we all tell our traumatic hamster stories, but nobody
I feel like we've trauma dumped enough.
I don't have hamster stories.
Bamter.
Bamter.
Bamter. We're doing it again. It's such a funny word. And then today we come into the studio and turned on the reverb effect on the mixer and just bamter with the reverb on, and it was so much fun. And then that devolved into vampire.
Bamter.
Chepster.
Wibbly-um.
Wibblies.
Eblinor.
We're in a weird headspace today, guys. I can't explain it. All we did today is sit down, talk. Drow spat out water. We went on a walk. Now Drow's holding a picture of Virgil from Devil May Cry.
Steam Deck.
Jacob got a Steam Deck.
Yeah.
It's been a weird day.
Pretty psyched.
Yeah. We played Borderlands 2 Game Boy mode together on the Steam Deck with my Steam Deck and your Steam Deck. How y'all doing?
They can't really.
I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you.
Oh, I'm all right.
All right. How are you doing, Kat?
I'm okay.
Drow?
I'm in love.
I get a day off on Wednesday to go with Jacob to his doctor's appointment, so that's nice.
Jacob's getting your tonsils out.
Well, yeah.
I'm hopefully getting them to
They're going to rip them out with pliers.
Take them out.
Yep.
In the office.
You know, we're going to walk in, and they're going to be like, you know what? We're taking these down now. Get this man to anesthesia, and you're going to turn white, and I'm going to laugh.
Just make sure that you don't
He's
eat.
Already white.
Yeah, just don't eat, just in case.
Hamster.
Did I say something, Drow, that hurt you? Because you made the face like you just took mental damage.
He's already white. Just fucking... Okay? I only had one eye open because there was too much information being bludgeoned against me.
Bamter.
Bamter.
Today, we're actually going to do another round of Homebrew Hot Seat. It's not just going to be the shitpost Bamter. Although we could do one of those. I would not want to edit that. But we could do one. And in today's homebrew hot seat is Drow. You've been working on a homebrew idea for a while now. I think even before I cooked up mine.
You like brought up the idea of doing this and I was like, all right, bet.
Now's
and
my time.
And I got some questions down.
Have you incorporated Virgil into it yet?
Their eyes just got big.
Listen, I'm here for ideas.
You're the ideas guy.
I wrote Virgil.
Virgil.
Is Virgil a god in your homebrew world?
Is no.
Is there your homebrew world where Devil May Cry takes place?
A romanceable PC, NPC. Or PC.
Named Virgil.
Virgil. Okay, that sounds like an evil world-ending deity.
Virgil.
Just Virgil, the image of the deity is... What's on your phone?
No.
The little baby girl?
Virgil sounds like the bad guy in a PBS kids show about like grammar.
Yeah, Virgil.
Virgil. Either that or the bad guy in a PBS kids show that's about gerbils. Virgil.
Virgil the Germgul.
He has a mustache or something. And a lab coat.
I'd love a gerbil with a mustache.
And a lab coat?
Optional.
I thought this wasn't going to be the random one and Drow was going to do their thing.
We were wrong.
Virgil happened. What, tell us
I
about
am
your
looking
world.
At the picture.
Oh my goodness. We need to show your baby girl Virgil picture.
I love him so much. Hang on. I need to drop the artist. It is at devilmaycry_fantage.
Thank you.
I don't know, man. It's... He's my spouse. Okay.
My spouse. Go ahead, talk about your homebrew world before we derail about a Devil May Cry again. Stop looking at Virgil.
Okay, fine.
Turn your phone over.
Okay. So I followed a like list of world building questions, and the first thing that it had me build was a physical and historical features. So for the physical features, I decided that the world spins on an axis that always points to a point far off. So like a day cycle is a year. The direction of the axis does not shift, even as the planet daughter orbits the local star mother.
It's kind of like how the moon faces us the same way.
Oh.
Yes, Jacob. Sorry. Jacob was looking confused.
I was confused, but I understand now. Perfectly. So
the world is mostly islands.
Solid.
There is no island large enough to be a continent in the traditional sense. And they're roughly equidistant. The climate varies, but being that every landmass is pretty close to a shoreline, there are no like real deserts. There are salt flats, and those are known as the unliving lands.
Ooh.
In terms of trees, they're mostly like Melaleuca pines that can tolerate freezing temperatures, since it's winter half the year, like half the day year.
Mm-hmm.
And deciduous trees are prized and seldom harvest for purposes outside of shipbuilding. In the world history, the war, which is just the war,
TM,
of the dominant species, and this is species plural. It's generally a traditional fantasy setting with the species you'd expect.
Ah.
A war in the dominant species nearly took every species, including like animals, to extinction, and almost all the migratory boats were sunk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
See, people might migrate.
Yes.
During the long
Yeah, they
day
just
cycle.
Constantly stay in the day.
Ooh, that's really cool.
Basically, the only way they could survive if you consider how long the night would be.
This instance is widely regarded as the first mass overwinter, and many perished. After that, a treaty was met with the largest of the overwintering communities, which there are some, to become stewards of domesticated animals that get stuck.
The overwintering communities would be people who live in the nighttime.
Yes.
Okay.
That just aren't nomadic.
Okay. Oh, overwinter. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
A treaty was met after the mass overwintering to have a sort of backup of domestic animals and commonly farmed seeds. And once, after a great light shone, the island shifted into a single large continent. It didn't last about for more than like 10 years. And as such, there are like several base species, but they've all split and changed in the way that Darwin's finches might have.
Oh, okay. So like you won't find at this point a single species on an island, because when they got intermixed, they kind of actually intermixed and then they got split up unexpectedly.
Yeah. It's sort of as though there was just one specific line of like krill, micro predator, and then mid-size all the way up, one specific food chain that has diversified, but they're still relatively the same animals.
So, now is this animals or the dominant species?
Animals.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
The peoples and customs, I have not actually named them. The winter things are communities of species that are not nomadic. They've developed to be denser, shorter, have generally darker skin and hair so that they can absorb more heat, and they have larger eyes. Winter things are also longer lived by a factor of up to 5 from a slower metabolism and a more varied diet.
Ah.
Interesting.
And whenever winter things are on the brighter side of the planet, they stay in caves. They've become nocturnal,
so
basically.
Okay. By choosing to stay where they are, they've basically chosen to become nocturnal.
Yes.
Because spending all that time in the light and then being in the dark isn't as bad as spending all the time in the dark and then suddenly being in the light.
Switching is difficult.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the migratory folks, the sailing things, as I've called them, are communities of species that migrate at a near constant rate. They're long-limbed, tightly muscled. Their hair is usually pretty shiny from a really high fish diet. And they usually keep it short because they're always at sea. There's a constant breeze, and that will tangle the shit out of hair.
So boathouses are a boat community.
Yep.
Because they won't...
Basically a fleet.
They wouldn't stop and stay on an island for a long time. They would actually just go from island to island.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, neat.
Then there are the switching things, which are usually the children of sailing things and winter things. And they can switch back and forth. Yes, Derek?
You said switching things, and Jacob recoiled and looked at you with such suspicion. It was so funny.
What the fuck?
You were like...
Thought you were making doppelgangers in the world.
No. They're just...
changelings.
There's a little bit of like an evolutionary difference, but they're still the same species. So these ones kind of pick their own destiny. I also imagined that because this one has a very strong polar pointing, this planet, that most of the like tectonic plates would be metal.
Metal?
Mm-hmm. Magnetism is a pretty strong theme, at least in the magic sense of this world.
So what caused the war that happened? If everybody's nomadic, what are they fighting over?
Didn't like that they landed on the same place.
Okay.
What are any wars for?
Yeah.
That's fair.
You described three different groups of species. Do they have much interaction? Because the switching things could potentially interact quite a bit with the other two, but I couldn't see the sailors and you called them
the sailing things
and the winter things.
Yes, I couldn't see them interacting mm-hmm. much.
It's not exactly in the evilness of a drow versus an elf, but it's same species just adapted for different things.
Also, they could interact because, and like...
they would end up interacting because the winter things not changing will end up on the bright side at one point in time.
Yeah, and like, if they're staying in one place, they could actually build up. And even though they're nocturnal during the daytime, at the night cycle, they could just be out all the time. So when the daytime comes around and the other people land on their island, they would see these structures. And they would know if there's not maps, they would know by getting there. But if there are maps, they'd probably have it marked down at that point. But like they would see that things do live here. And if they don't see them out and about, they would know that they're the nocturnal winter ones.
I don't know. If they are constantly traveling, they've got to have an extensive mapping scenario going on.
Well, the islands are all
moving
equal distance apart. So if you find one island, you know where the other islands around it are. So you might not have to have a map to survive. You just go from island to island.
I just couldn't see somebody not eventually coming up with the idea.
Eventually, but it just depends on it. Like, what point would you be playing in the story or the history, rather? Would it be a mapped out time or would it be before there were maps? Because it could also depend on how you play whatever you just choose to play in
but
the
you
world.
Said like the a bunch of islands came together because this like magnetic tectonic plate thing
mm-hmm.
over a really short period of time.
Yes, catastrophic.
Yeah, I gathered it might be the case that making maps doesn't make sense because they're not right. Like if things move tectonically so fast, it could be useless, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you make a map, and then it's already off by the next time you make your trip a couple years later or something like that. And then what's the point? They might just have better strategies for finding islands, and they might recognize or write about an island, but its location is nebulous, you know? And you could use that, like...
could even be, last time we were here, this wasn't the same island.
Yeah. You could also mm-hmm. use that kind of like location being a location outside of your immediate vicinity being a very impermanent thing as a like thing to develop the cultures of the people who sail, right? Because, you know, humans who live on land and have areas they live in and houses like think of places differently than these people might.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And heck, we're talking about tectonics and magnetism and all that. That doesn't even have to be the case if it gets in the way. Could just say it's magic.
Could just say it's magic. Magic continents, magic metal.
Who knows? I don't.
You said something about traditional fantasy species or races? Is that something you would like map on to these different types of things? Or would you just all of them?
All of them are winter things. All of them are sailing things. All of them have the capacity to be switching things.
Okay, but there's no distinct, like, the dwarves did this, the elves did this, the halflings worshipped Norgaber, the gnomes did this.
They might have, but then everything kind of got destroyed.
So this is a post-apocalyptic world.
Somewhat, but it's nice.
Post-apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it? Because it sounds like, I guess it would just depend on when you play. Because it sounds like where people are now is where they were at the beginning. Because at the beginning, the islands were separated. Then they came together and then split. And now you're back to the islands like they were before.
Mm-hmm. The concept for that is that maybe somebody's able to detect another surge in a far-off galaxy, causing a huge electromagnetic pulse that's going to draw everything together and destroy yet another generation. Maybe this is just sailing.
Yeah.
I like that, though, because I feel like you have, if you haven't like ironed it out, you have a lot of the bones of a creation myth and a cosmology ready to go. You could just work backwards from this magnetic tectonic plates, the shifting islands, the daughter, the mother. Mm-hmm. You have everything you need to weave a cosmology or a myth for your people, but like you can just do it in reverse.
I wanted to get down some points and allow you guys to come up with a concept.
Okay.
Which is kind of the point of this.
Yeah. I like that.
It's a very interesting creation.
Do you want us to like riff on, so if we're going to riff on ideas for this, do you want us to riff on like the big picture things or like the smaller things?
That's up to you.
Okay. I would like to think about personally, because this is homebrew for like tabletop stuff, what kind of games could you do in this?
Forbidden Lands all the way.
Forbidden Lands style game where you...
Island hopping Forbidden Lands.
Because like the way Forbidden Lands is you get a very big map to explore. But this sounds like it would be a lot of smaller maps to explore. And to add to that, you would randomly roll the islands because the islands are never the same. The islands themselves change.
And sailing would be a key skill if you were exploring.
You could actually run this in Forbidden Lands pretty unmodified too.
And then if you wanted to, you could even add a special island that's like, oh, maybe this item was built out of materials from that island, and you could have a compass that points to that island. So let's say you have a what was the combination? The
switching things.
The switching things. Let's say there was there's a couple, they have a child, it's a switching thing. One year they want to go with their family that travels, but this would give them a way to find their way back home eventually. Just follow the compass. Honestly, that would be taking a lot of points from a couple different stories, Pirates of the Caribbean, One Piece. Have things that reference this kind of stuff, but it would be a way of having a reliable way to get back to an island, and maybe you could make it a rare item so that not everybody would have that. But this would be very good for an exploring type story. And then if you ever got one of those items and wanted to go back to a certain item, you would roll randomly to see how long it would take to get there. So that would be your travel. It would also help because let's say you also played this in a system like D&D or Pathfinder that has troublesome spells like teleport. If they move, you can't go back to them.
You really have been burned by teleport.
He does not like teleport.
Teleportation circle would basically...
A circle, yes. But that's a lot different than just being able to willy-nilly teleport somewhere. Mm-hmm. A circle is a ritual. It is built up and it is for certain. You would have to have another teleportation circle for that to work. That way islands could be connected. You could have a whole kingdom spanning multiple islands and they wouldn't be next to each other. That's kind of a neat idea. Because what it is, I like teleport. It's just, it is also one of those wonderful spells that can just screw over an adventure if you get access to it. So it's just acknowledging that and working around it.
Yeah.
But I also like the idea of having a kingdom made of multiple islands that just...
It really works for Forbidden Lands style gameplay, though, because if you have these islands that migrate and the planet turns slowly, you have like a ripe setup for ruins and forgotten places. And that's what a game like Forbidden Lands just runs on, mm-hmm. is forgotten, abandoned stuff.
And who's to say that this great coming together and splitting hasn't actually happened before other times in the past, and Bingo. It's just been forgotten? So maybe, and who knows if it's 10 years each time? What if the time is different each time? There could have been big kingdoms that got split apart that had been together for 100 years or more.
And that would be part of the mythos and the history. Well,
that would confuse
traveling.
People because they would remember maybe this is recent, or maybe something about the level of technology reached at the last splitting. Be like, we remember when this happened. We came together and we split. It was 10 years. But if that was 10 years, why are these ruins here? It would take a lot more than 10 years to build these. And it could be a way of discovering whatever past
that's
stuff
what I'm
happens.
Saying. It would give you things to discover yeah. other than just very temporary settlements.
And I also like, because like this works great for Forbidden Lands, it could also work equally as good in a D&D / Pathfinder type setting if you moved it up into the future, where finding out where islands are becomes an easier thing with technology or magic or whatever. And then you would just have a Galarian, but if the DM needed you to be in trouble, you could get abandoned off of an island and all of a sudden you don't know how to get to the next one or something like that. It's a great system to mold what you need it for, because you could even have the different islands, even if they're next to each other, have different weather and stuff like that. Could be completely different environments.
Exactly. You can get kind of, not a kitchen sink fully, but like if you want different biomes, for lack of a better word, you basically...
But not deserts.
Deserts are forbidden.
No deserts.
Well, it doesn't make sense to have a desert.
Legal.
But you have a lot of different options for like microclimates or whatever.
And that's why one day when you land on a desert island, you know something's wrong.
What happened?
What is this?
God said no deserts.
The sand is not wet. How dare.
That'd be really fun to play. You could also just do, if you wanted to be shitty about it, the most pirate world adventure.
Yeah, you could. Waterworld, like that old movie.
Have I just made that?
No. Waterworld had no land except for one place. This is the actually cool thing here is you could have took the whole islands, you never know where you are, but it's kind of neat because you do know where other islands are. You know exactly, unless maybe you get to the top or the bottom of the world. Maybe there would be different, like, because you can only go so far south, I suppose, I guess. We'll worry about that. But, like, you always know there are other islands nearby. You just don't know if they're safe, whether because of weather, hostile culture, or something like that. You know they're there. You just don't know what's on those islands. And I kind of like that.
I was wondering, though, have you given any thought to what is under the sea?
Bum, ba, dum, bum.
Yeah, I know. Is there a rich, like, mer culture, do you think?
The Leviathans from Atlantis.
Oh, can you roleplay as a Leviathan? Can you be a party of Leviathans?
I don't know.
Okay. The water's big, bro.
But that would be...
Water's big, bro.
That would be the best culture to have an actual, like, civilization, because there'd be more water than land.
They might be part of the reason that these mostly magnetic land masses move.
It's Leviathans all the way down.
It's the islands themselves are Leviathans.
They're just giant lion turtles.
They're just giant lion turtles.
And everybody lives on these, and that they're moving because it's actually a creature swimming through the water.
All the scientists are just like,
we lose an island? It's because one of them died and it sank to the bottom.
Bro, it's magnets. All the magic is like, bruh, it's just weird magic. Some druid speaks up, man, this island's been talking to me my whole life. Shut up, druid.
So I do have stuff on a... magic and magicians, as well as magic and technology.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Share. Magic is usually seen as a manipulation of the magnetic fields around a person. Some are evokers of true magics, and some are tinkerers with electricity aiding them. Wizards view the tinkerers as using magic in like an umbrella term, but there is a specialization there. It's not necessarily arcane.
Artificers.
Somewhat.
Okay.
I don't want to use token
other
terms.
Yes. But
Wizard pulls out like the U magnet, like cartoon. Are you ready to meet God?
And magic fields and electricity tinkering are spoken of and common enough that most people have seen it. The nomadic lifestyle and intermingling of cultures kind of makes it hard to keep a secret.
Mm.
But because they're also nomadic, it's very hard to have a library and a like a large machine built.
Yeah, that would there would be limits on the technology unless you were from a winter kingdom.
This would be great to have one of those, like, what is it? Is it like world engine things? Like they, where they had those cities on like cars, the ridiculous thing.
Oh, but
it's
a
mega boat where like a lot of people live.
The sailing things could have like a rich oral history or like storytelling or something because they couldn't write it down or wouldn't be able to save as much when moving that much.
But like, that could be a thing, because like if you use magic and technology to do it, you theorize in a fantasy world, eventually you could get a giant floating city. But what if the theoretical, not mentioned, gods of this world don't like that? And they're like, that's against the rules. We're going to get a Leviathan to eat your city.
Yeah.
And like people hear rumors of it happening, but they never see it because they always get gone.
Too much magic, too much tinkering in one area could cause a disruption, have another island crash into yours.
Yeah.
What if the, it sounds like the planet would have like a really strong magnetic field.
Yeah.
What if like the thing that it's facing towards or like some cosmological event causes all those islands to like align to like one side briefly, not like a supercontinent, but like ferromagnetic fluid, when you hold a magnet up to it, how like it just kind of together and forms shapes.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a super cool tool to use for like cosmology events or whatever.
Mm. Again, you'd have to be careful. Maybe there are areas where an island hangs out, but the island couldn't just move willy-nilly around the whole world, or else you potentially lose the whole winter things, because then you could find an island that's just always in the sun while it's traveling.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, maybe you could also just have that and just be unique.
That might happen on the more polar islands.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure.
They're technically always stable. They're just, you're able to walk like a circumference into day and night.
I bet the night things would probably be really magically involved since they stay in one place and are more together.
See, I was thinking they'd be more technologically involved because they could actually have the space to build machines.
That's true.
Metal also takes a lot of stuff to refine.
Yeah. So like they would have the space or rather the time to build that. Whereas the nomads, I would think, would be more magically inclined because you don't need space to do that. That's what I was thinking.
The night things have submarines, 100%.
The winter things do not have submarines.
Aww.
They live in caves.
Aww. Cave marines.
Cave marine.
Well, no, you have submarines and the Leviathans eat you.
That's what I was about. There are submarines. The gods are like, we don't like that.
The Leviathans are like, no underwater metal tube.
See, the thing is, the problem is the first submarines would just be snack sized.
They don't have submarines. They have Dom Marines. That's what a Leviathan is.
Why did you do this?
I couldn't stop myself.
I'm going to look at Virgil again.
You need help. You need confidence.
I need the strength to carry on.
You need the strength and motivation. Certainty of steel.
Give me motivation.
Is Virgil a sea thing or a night thing?
He's a Virgil thing.
Or a switching thing.
Well, he is a... he's half demon and half human, so he's a switching thing, Derek.
You should just make a nice picture of Virgil giving you a thumbs up and saying, you can do this.
No, I do like have one poster of him with making a thumbs up, and I photoshopped a wedding ring onto it.
Yeah, and you post it every time anyone says power.
Okay.
I like that you had the chance to put certain races as certain types of things.
No, everything.
And the fact that you didn't do that is quite nice, actually.
Maybe things here are not from here originally. They're also like landed here and they've been adapting to the planet or something.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
It could be that the entire planet is a ferrofluid and eventually every culture gets chewed up, dragged down to the bottom as something new gets shunted up.
There's no halflings.
There's no halflings.
Yeah, this is Drow's world. No halflings.
No dwarves.
No Norgaber.
Any humans?
There were.
I don't know.
Now they're just mixed with everything else.
Yeah, finding something that's, you know, like very specifically a species is not going to be very common. You'll find members of the dominant species with traits that lean more towards, oh, a lot of elf blood in this one, that kind of stuff.
Dwarf with elf ears.
The tieflings have taken over. No. Everyone has wings and a tail.
Elves, no, but they have big, hairy, bare feet. No, wait, no halflings. Sorry.
Can't you stop that.
Unfortunately, no tieflings. No heaven or hell here. You die,
elf,
you die.
But big, bushy beard.
No dwarfs.
Oh, no.
It's just elves all the way down.
Elves.
Elves. Orcs.
Gnomes.
Gnomes.
Gnomes are allowed, but not halflings.
Gnomes.
Not a fey folk.
A lot of all the halflings got eaten by leviathans. Their island,
they were snack-sized,
was too happy, so the leviathan just chomp, 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 chomp.
Island just sunk.
Okay, man. Like, this is supposed to be feasibly like a base species that got separated, sort of evolved, and now they have the ability to intermix.
Serious,
again.
But like Myrrh in Elder Scrolls,
kind of
where like the.
The
Orcs,
Myrrh, the Dunmer.
Elves are different types of Myrrh. And then the Orcs are actually Orisa Myrrh, which is a variant of Elves.
So it's base Elf and everything else was Elf.
Not necessarily.
Or, you know, something. Everything was Gnome.
Could be base Fey.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows how they got here? Who knows why they stayed here?
Where'd they come from?
What if they're stuck?
Where'd they
Don't.
Go?
It actually is interesting, though, to not have a base human world.
Yeah. I don't like that.
It's also very on brand for you.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Very.
That's a very cool world, though. I'd love to see a game written for one part of it or the other. Like, I feel like if you're going to play in the Winter Things kind of side of it, it's a different experience than in the Sailing Things side of it. But I think it brings up the question to me, is there a game about sailing and exploring islands out there? Because obviously we've talked that you can do this in various other games.
Minecraft.
Sea of Thieves.
Is no, there did you create this because your favorite thing to do in any world is just to explore continuously?
Partially. Are there gunpowder barrels?
Well, no.
Okay.
But since there's a lot of probably ferrous rocks, maybe you just hit the wrong batch of pumice or something and you explode.
There's not gunpowder barrels. There's whale oil barrels.
Ooh.
It's Dishonored.
Oh. Shut up. But it makes me wonder, though, like, legitimately, if there's a good TTRPG for sailing.
I don't know. There may have been one that was just created. There is a pirate game called Rapscallion, but I know literally nothing about it. It just got backed by, like, Backrit and whatnot. BackerKit, whatever it's called. That, and then the next closest would probably be some kind of Forbidden Lands.
One more thing. The ocean is not rusty. Even if the entire, like, continental structure underneath it is ferrous, irony. It's not rusty.
So it's a freshwater ocean.
It doesn't necessarily have to be, but it could
be. I
know.
The freshwater of the ocean.
Gotta watch out for them river sharks in that freshwater ocean.
River sharks terrify me as a concept.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Shut up, Jacob. Are there sharks in your world?
Who knows?
What do you mean, who knows? You love sharks.
Shark people? Sharkmer?
Are you really going to take sharks out of your world?
You mean like a dark elf, a bark elf, a snark elf, and a shark elf?
Uh-huh.
Maybe? I don't know.
That'd be fun.
That might be...
That'd be really fun.
That might be the way that sailing things lean. I don't know.
Shark people. Shark people. Maybe they're also good at swimming, not just sailing.
Probably.
I would hope they'd be good at swimming. I'd hope people who could sail would be good at swimming, Derek.
Like, no, you fall off the boat,
you
die.
On a boat.
The weak die.
I got a boat.
You fall off the boat,
I got a boat.
Woe be upon those who fall off the boat.
Oh my God, the name for a great one-shot in this world would be The Lonely Island.
Oh.
I got a boat.
Introduce the island to the ground.
Introduce the island to the ground. I'm not ferromagnetic. Man. Oh, that got Jacob.
Huh.
Actually, this sounds like a really cool setting. It's more, honestly, the way you've described it sounds like I can visualize what it would be like to play in this thing a little bit better than mine. Because mine was just, how do I get to colonial fantasy? This is like a thing I could see playing.
Oh, and the best thing is you wouldn't have to have a world map.
Exactly.
It's against the rules.
That's Jacob's favorite thing as a GM.
Not having a world map.
Anything can just drift into your area.
That's right. It's all vague.
Jacob's going to run a game in this setting.
Jacob, would do you prefer Theater of the Mind, or you just don't like having a world map?
That's battle maps. Jacob likes battle maps. Battle Jacob maps doesn't like different. World maps.
I like a world map when you need it, but you do not always have to have one.
Because mm-hmm. Jacob
unfortunately,
likes to...
Unfortunately, we needed one for Hawthorne because I started teleporting.
A little bit...
Yeah, it's why he doesn't like world maps.
If we didn't, have the rules in Pathfinder teleporting for like... a specific amount of miles.
Yeah.
Then yeah. we wouldn't have needed that.
But like as soon as you keep adding things to your world that's a fixed landmass, you have to keep track of where they are relative to each other, and it's a pain, isn't it?
Which is why you just had an apocalyptic event happen.
Oh no, nothing changed as far as the map's concerned with that.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's very cool though. I was looking at Rapscallion, Jacob, mm-hmm. and it looks like a very pirate focused
game. It is a pirate game. That is what it is. I just don't know if it's built for a specific world and all that, if it's... I don't know all the details. I just know that it is a pirate tabletop RPG.
It's Powered by the Apocalypse.
Ooh. I backed one of their other games, I think, which is why I keep getting messages for that one. But that's the closest I've heard to an island adventure. But that's really just pirates. And you don't have to have islands for pirates. You could just have pirates. So I don't know about that.
That's a neat world. Do you have any sort of, like... Do you have anything else you want to talk about? About it that we haven't hit yet?
There's no God of Secrets.
It kind of reminds me...
That's why there's no halflings.
Secrets don't exist. Everybody just tells the truth.
It kind of reminds me in feel of like playing the game Raft. Because you just keep moving.
Kind of.
There are places you can be... Well, I'm not saying it's a perfect correlation, but it just makes me think of that.
Imagine doing like an underwater exploration thing, trying to avoid leviathans, and you're swimming down and you just find like... the remnants of an underwater or like a city or something underwater on some island that sunk. That's like...
The turtle died.
You could find a trapped pocket of people.
Ooh.
Under the sea.
Atlantis. I like this world. I could. There's like five adventures in my head I could write in this world. It's really fun. You did a good job.
Because you have three different specific types of species to build your adventure off of. You could even make a group of... sailing things that are more like raiders.
Bandits.
Now, the people in this setting tend to get along with each other.
But that doesn't account for people who don't. Every society, even if it's a friendly society, will still have bandits or stuff like that. People who'd rather fight than work to get what they want.
If somebody attacks the flotilla, they're dying.
Okay, all right.
That's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, this is also rife for... Eldritch Cthulhu stuff.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Which
oh,
would
yeah.
please Jacob greatly.
Oh yeah, can you imagine if one of the islands just opened up and it was an eye?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes.
Maybe that's why it constantly faces one way.
Oh.
The island.
It knows.
The world is a turtle. It's Discworld. Oh no.
Not the world turtle. Not again.
Not again.
What do you think it's facing?
The sign.
No.
No, I know.
I think maybe the world is an egg.
Okay.
And it's facing its...
Mama.
No, that's its son. Daddy.
Well, its mommy might not be the mother.
Are not the mother.
It's facing the Milky Way because it's thirsty.
Maybe it is being called to...
It's in our universe?
Maybe, yeah. It's like marker stuff from Dead Space and it's facing some sort of like thing it's being called to.
Oh.
It's just a quest pointer.
The marker. Mm-hmm. Someone else is trying to get here. Your world is a GPS beacon.
Maybe that's why it's magnetic. Maybe every time it gets pinged, there's a coalescence.
Sonar pings the world. Everyone dies. Organs exploded. I also love the idea of islands being on the backs of large beasts and not knowing it.
I don't think that's the case here.
I know, but like you could have that happen... once or twice in a big ocean like world, right? It wouldn't be every island. It'd be just rare.
Like a rogue island.
There's always exceptions to every rule. And that's part of what adventures are made of.
Except no halflings in Drow's world.
Hard rule.
Uh-huh.
Someone's going to third like, party in some halflings.
This world is similar enough to Earth that an Earthling could survive there, except a halfling. If it gets there, something about the world just explodes it.
Uh-huh. Steps through portal. Huh. This place is boom. Yes. Uh-huh.
The sheer evil of a halfling's soul.
Man, this would be a great place to worship Norgor.
They come through the portal and just like the evil Norgorberite in their soul gets ripped out and they just collapse as a husk.
Uh-huh. They are atomized.
Mm-hmm.
They just poof.
There's a soul reaper at the center of this world that just consumes halfling souls. Mm-hmm. Never to be seen again.
Halfling.
Halflingant.
Are there other planes in this world space?
No, flying would ruin it.
Is the multiverse...
You're right, though. You couldn't have flying.
Plane thing a thing here?
Maybe.
Actually, flying...
I don't think that...
wouldn't ruin it.
I don't think that people have advanced that far yet.
Okay.
They're just tinkering still. Like at this point in time, I think people might get up to like level 2 spells if we're going by D&D power ratings.
This would be fun though if you were doing it in a Forbidden Lands kind of game with willpower. Mm-hmm. Your spells aren't that strong and you have the whole die and go behind the veil and you see what the world is facing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never the same. Mm, that'd be pretty great.
Come back as a villainous NPC.
Mm. Verbgul.
Verbgul.
That's it.
That's it.
We're done.
Staring
we
at
can't
the thing.
Keep doing this.
Virgil mentioned.
We're
banter
done.
Over.
Get out of here.
Virgil.
Banter.
Listen, audience. Devil May Cry. Not even once.
Look what it did
I'm
to
sorry.
Drow. Look what it did to Drow.
What? Okay. Am I not allowed to look at this picture of a probably evil man and blush like a schoolgirl?
Burbgul.
Burbgul.
I mean, you're allowed to, but it doesn't mean you should.
Am I not allowed to talk
you're
about the dream
to,
that I had in which I was
should.
Married to him and we both defended a house with too many windows that was located in Maryland from a bunch of giant stone golems that were trying to kill Jonathan Joestar?
I think you should.
My brain is damaged.
Audience, thank you for listening.
We won.
Mental this damage.
Is our, this is our pleasure.
And thank you, Drow, for bringing some homebrew.
That was very fun.
That was very fun. Yeah. I enjoyed talking about it. I would love to play in it someday.
All right, show me your motivation.
I got motivational issues.
Ugh, dude.
We'll catch you in the next one, audience.
Bye.
Bye.
Adios.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Bonus Banter. If you enjoyed it, please consider subscribing, rating, and reviewing us. If you would like to submit a question or comment for Bonus Banter, please use the Google form linked in the episode description. If you want to see more from us, check out our website, thirdgallon.com, or follow us on Twitter. We're @thirdgallon, that's T-H-I-R-D gallon. We are also on Threads, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook with the same handle, @thirdgallon. We also publish a video version of this podcast on YouTube, which you can find on our channel, The Third Gallon Podcast. If you'd like to support the show, check out our coffee page. You can find us at coffee.com/thirdgallon. That's ko-fi.com/thirdgallon. The theme music for Bonus Banter was composed by Alexander Nakarada. You can find more of his work at serpentsoundstudios.com and support him at patreon.com/anakarada. That's patreon.com/anakarada. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.